Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
All pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, everybody, let's go. Tuesday edition of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg and Laurel. Bob, Kelly, and Lou, glad that you're with us today. Opening segment of our show every day, sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Great supporters of our program, great supporters of Southern Miss, and a great place for Bob to eat when his wife's out of town, like she has been for the past several days. And boy, I'm grateful for Dickey's.
Glad there's no bitterness there, Bob, that Angela takes a little time off.
The cook left, didn't leave nothing in the cupboard.
Yeah.
But Dickey's stepped up for me, and I'm grateful. They'll do the same thing for you, Dickey's Barbecue. Great supporters of the Southern Miss Athletic Program, and we appreciate all that they do with us. All right, Heath and Big Old Nation going to do a couple segments with us here today because there's so much breaking news. And Mike Kreiner, linebacker coach, Mark Kreiner, my bad, out. Kelly, we suspected that, just didn't say anything about it yesterday, but the carousel continues.
It does, and I think that's probably going to be it. Now and then the reshuffling is going to have to take place, in the sense that Sam Gregg, who was the offensive line coach who got promoted to offensive coordinator, I don't know if that meant a salary bump, but if it did, and then he goes back to offensive line coach with the new offensive coordinator coming in, that's going to mean that some of that money that he might have been making is going to have to go back in the pot,
right,
for the new offensive coordinator that Will Hall confirmed.
That's always
on the show.
A good conversation to have with an employee.
Yeah,
goes over really well.
So there's going to be a lot of shuffling of the deck here, and Heath, I'm sure, has been keeping up to date.
And as we reported on the show yesterday, we didn't actually report it, but Coach Hall broke the news yesterday on the Eagle Hour that there would in fact be a new offensive coordinator in town. And since then, a lot of movement in the portal, and that's one of the reasons we asked Heath to come on today. Update us, Heath. Who all has entered the portal on the Southern Miss football team and has made clear they're leaving?
Okay, so today you had Zach Wilkie, quarterback, who entered the portal, and Bryce Ramsey. And yesterday you had John Bolding, Jerquan Scott, and Jake Lane. So right now we know of five guys who entered the portal. Now, Southern Miss just got a commitment today from a junior college DB. So good for them. That helps a little bit with getting some DB talent, which he did talk about, Jordan Johnson, which he did talk about, that he was going to get some help in the defensive backfield. So they're starting to add pieces, but this is the transfer portal. This is the way college football is every year. Players come, players go. You look to replace those guys, and you never know who's coming up or why they're leaving. And there's always reasons why people leave, and it's not that they're not happy or anything like that. It may be for other reasons. You just don't know.
Right. It is a new world of college football, and I think it's – this is speculation, but we don't really think Frank Gore Jr. is going to be back for a fifth year, do you?
I don't think so. Now, that's not saying he won't be, because he hasn't come out and said that yet. So, right now, you would think because he walked with the seniors that he wouldn't come back, but you never know. We'll see. You know, it's tough for him. He's got to make a decision. Does he want to go pro? Is he going to get an NIL deal? NIL's changed everything. These kids I saw today were a quarterback, the kid from Washington, had four schools that maybe offered him $1 million.
Yeah, I've read that. I read that right before.
$1 million NIL deal to come there.
Which is more than the minimum salary in the National Football League.
Yes. So just think about that. This is the day and age we are in football. Power Fives are in a day and age where they don't develop talent, they buy it.
Yeah. This isn't a good time, is it, Kelly Sanders? It's just in a good time for college athletics.
Well, one of the things that Frank – all right, so Frank's got his degree, right? Graduated. So the first question you have is am I marketable in the NFL? Do you think I've got a shot in the NFL? So you talk to agents about that, all right? Then the next thing is with my degree, what company's going to hire me, all right? And if I get a job, what's that starting salary going to be, all right? And if that starting salary isn't going to be what he could potentially make in an NIL deal – to school X, Y, or Z, you might consider taking an NIL deal with school X, Y, Z simply because it will pay you more than a, air quotes, real job. That's how much things have changed.
For example, the quarterback at Florida State, you know, he's glad he stayed now and took his $1 million because he's got maybe a career-ending injury.
And he said, if I were to take my degree and go work for a company and make $65,000 a year on the bottom rung of the totem pole, why would I make $65,000 when I can make $750,000 playing college football?
Well, another question for me before we get Luke here, Heath. What about the two quarterbacks that transferred in here last year from Houston and Clemson? Do you think they have a future with this program now?
I think they're kind of, because I don't think they're going anywhere. I don't think, unless you want to transfer down, maybe you might transfer down, but I don't see any cases where they transfer up. So I think if they want to stay, you know, kind of where they're at the D1 level, then, yeah, they stay here. But, you know, you talk about quarterbacks, guys. We've seen quarterbacks get trucks for staying around at schools. It's incredible what these kids are getting. No wonder they're looking for places to go. And They're capitalists. They're looking to make money. Mm-hmm. What can you say?
Right. Don't blame the kids. Blame the people that instituted this system. That's who you blame.
Blame the people that thought that free agency without a cap was a good idea in college football.
Luke Johnson, we hear a lot about Frank Gore Jr., and with all respect to him, he's a great kid, and I wish him nothing but the best. I would question his ability to play in the National Football League because of his size primarily. But, you know, no one should blame this kid if he does leave. He gave four good years here. He has his degree. It may be time to move on.
I mean, I'm tempted to think the same way as far as the NFL. And then I was just reminded Saturday of watching him move piles of two or three defenders. And I think Frank has always outperformed. It's really interesting when you're the son of the third leading rusher in NFL history. You would think that the expectations are upon you, but when people look at him, they're always not his dad. And then you watch him run, and he actually is surprisingly strong compared to what he looks like. And so what I'm getting at is, I got to the place where I was really never surprised at what he could do because I watched him for 4 years, and I do think that he can perform in the right role, the right team, the right situation. I think he could be a decent back, especially a change of pace back. But people don't have naturally what he has, the intuition and just the moves, I mean, that he's made in so many games in his Southern Miss career. So, yeah, to answer the second part of it, I won't fault him at all. I mean, the fact – I said it yesterday – the fact that he hung around like he did and provided leadership as a true freshman in 2020, you know, this fan base should ever be thankful for that.
I agree. Heath, give us the inside information, if you have it, on Zach Wilkie. Now, here's a kid that kind of burst on the scene last year, played some football for the team. Two new quarterbacks come in, and during all the preseason competition, it seemed like it was those two guys competing for the job. What happened to Zach Wilkie with Southern Miss football?
All we know really is that he left for family issues during fall camp, and when you get something like that, you just kind of let that go, and that's all we know. Young man, look, he was a quarterback that beat him. Tulane team that did pretty well last season. Yeah. So he might have some options going forward. Just a situation where, you know, maybe he needs a new place to go. Maybe he just needs a new area to be in. And I think that's what the deal is with Zach Wilkie. But, you know, family issues, whatever that may be, that's why he didn't play this season.
Well, it's going to whoever the defensive coordinator is, whoever Will Hall hires, and we tried to ask him about a timeline yesterday, and he said, well, sooner rather than later, if everything is a perfect fit. But the defensive coordinator is going to have a lot of decisions to make because you got a linebacker, you know, coach to fill if the defensive coordinator is not going to do that themselves. And then getting linebacker talent in here because you lost, you know, Maples. You lost, you know, the rest of the guys that are there. So of all the departments on the team, the linebacking core took the biggest hit. And then you got to get these safeties in and the rest of the DBs back healthy and learning a new system as well. So a lot of big decisions right away, plus a D-line coach as well, which is now off the table, right?
Well, the one good thing he's got with Chad Williams is Chad Williams coached linebackers, but he also played DB, and he can coach that. So there's a little bit of leniency there when he comes in. Does he get a DB coach, get a linebacker? Most coordinators that I've ever seen coach linebackers. That's what they usually do. Coach O'Brien coaching safeties was a little different than what I normally see. So I would expect he's going to come in and coach linebackers, but I don't know that for sure.
Jay Gruden is available. Don't forget that.
Boy, there's a blast from the past.
All right, we got to take a break. We'll be right back. More with Heath Hinton from Big Gold Nation. If you get Gruder's phone number, maybe we can ring him up here between
Norm Van Brocklin, maybe. We'll call him.
Otto Graham. How's that?
The Galloping Ghost.
We'll be right back.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right. Town & Country Cleaners, Hattiesburg's most trusted dry cleaners. Family owned and operated since 1983. They offer services including steam pressing, shirt laundry, bulky bedding, minor alterations, and of course dry cleaning. You can visit Town & Country Cleaners at their convenient location across from the USM campus or Hardy Street, or call them at 601-264-4920. Also want to thank our good friends at Mobay Beignet Company. On a cool day like today, a hot coffee and 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 beignets, Kelly, would hit the spot.
Put me in the mood for a nap. That's for 7 or 8 of them.
Great sauces, toppings that you put on them. Don't drink them like Kelly does. Put them on the beignet. And it enhances the experience.
There's no law against drinking.
No. And you're good at it. I have no question about it. All right, we continue our conversation with Heath. And also want to thank Campus Bookmark, campusbookmark.net. Miss Kathleen, Merry Christmas to you, Miss Kathleen. When you walk in the store today, please tell her that the guys on the Eagle Hour were talking good about her as usual. All right, Heath, I do want to save a little time for basketball, but any other thoughts you have right now about the end of football season, the uncertainty swirling around the program right now, and what do you think the future holds?
I think personally that people were upset during the season that the offensive line wasn't that good. Well, they're making changes on the offensive line. We'll see if we'll know for certain next season if it was players or coaching. We will know. I think that they're doing things to bring in people that they have in need positions. I think they might bring in a quarterback, but you look at what they have coming back. There is talent coming back on the offense at skill positions. There's some defensive players that are coming back. They're going to be fun. They have the chance to be good, but we thought they were going to have the chance to grow last season. So time will tell, but we'll see what happens.
Now that the dust has settled a little bit, Luke Johnson, what happened? What caused the season to go off the rails?
I mean, I think if Will could do it all over again, I think he would not begin the season, or probably after maybe the Tulane game, allow somebody else to play call. I think the other aspect to it is he would allow Ethan Crawford to play earlier. The problem was, you literally had the worst things happen at the worst time in football games. You started behind the eight ball, or you couldn't finish. That's really the case of when you lost so many in the middle, you either started terribly. I mean, think about Texas State. Dude, if you didn't have one or two of those bad things happen in the game, you end up winning that game by you know, you either take it to overtime or you win by 7 points. If you can score inside, if you can finish a game and score inside the red zone against ODU, inside the 10-yard line, you win that game. If you can score inside the red zone Saturday, it's and don't, you know, flick the ball back and allow them to a scoop six, it's a one-score game in the fourth quarter. So it was literally a case of continually the wrong thing happening at the absolute worst time. But I do think Will would go back and he would relinquish play calling so that he could focus. Because let's be honest, the team overall improved when he was able as a head coach to focus on the entire team. They did. And the other aspect to it is they wouldn't have played Crawford maybe in the Alcorn game. But I get the fact you play him early, he plays earlier. But the offense was completely different when he was in the game, regardless of his freshman mistakes.
And here's something that's problematic going forward, you guys, is now you're having to hire coaches that, again, let's be honest, let's put all the cards on the table. This could be, if things don't get better, and I'm talking dramatically better next season, this could be a one-and-done thing. I mean, employment obviously has its advantages, but nobody finds it fun packing boxes every year and moving from city to city. And that's something that new assistant coaches that they bring in might have to face. And let me also suggest that the stakes get higher next year. I think it'll take, you know, six or seven wins, you know, at least, for there not to be some discussion that is the football program going the direction you want to go. I'm glad I don't have to make those decisions, but I think the stakes are a lot higher next year.
Heath,
Kelly, I'd also add starting the season with Alcorn and then Florida State, Tulane, where you already got a lot of questions, that didn't help matters none either.
I never did think playing Alcorn and then the next week Florida State was a great scheduling move.
No.
Here's another pretty basic question. Stuck with Billy Wiles too long, Heath?
I think they had to stick with Billy Wiles as long as they could. You got to remember, Ethan Crawford was coming off a season-ending knee injury last year in high school. And he was coming in at practice spring. And so you had to give him time to learn and get involved. That takes a little bit of time.
Right. I get that. But you did bring in another transfer quarterback. You had brought in a transfer quarterback from Houston who really never saw the field.
Yeah, but I think if he would have been the guy, Will would have played him, no matter what, because he needed to win. So I'm not sure that either one of them were the answer, maybe. Offensive line issues, too. I mean, they didn't have much time to throw the ball a lot of times. So
yeah.
I don't know if the quarterback – I do think if Ethan would have played earlier, but I don't know if he could have played earlier because I don't know if he would.
I think with a better offensive line, Billy Wiles would have looked much better on the field.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's fair.
And again, did we over-expect? You know, again, and the other folks, look at the folks down in Mobile. Based on expectations, they think it was a terrible season. And they went 6-6 at South Al. You know, so a lot of this has to do with your expectations. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Coach Hall and all the coaches were out there saying this was the best team they've had since I've been here. It just didn't work out.
3.5 minutes left. Speaking of expectations, Heath Hinton, a lot of expectations for the basketball team. They did not get off to a good start, I thought, and I was able to catch the second half of the game Saturday. They looked much, much better from the foul line, from the floor. They just looked like they had pulled themselves, got their act together. What do you expect out of this basketball team? Because I at the start of the year, was expecting a lot of success, and I still hold out optimistically that this can be a very good basketball team.
I think this team goes as far as their shooting goes. They've just had shooting issues this year. Last game, I think they were right around 48-49% for the game, and the season they've been around 35-37%. You know, defensively, they're tough, they're long, they defend really well, but you know, if you can't score, it's hard to win games, and a lot of times they've had issues. Those 5-minute scoring droughts, it's not because they're not taking shots, because the shots aren't falling.
Right.
Hopefully that game in Green Bay, which Donovan Ivory really enjoyed his trip home, or Wisconsin, I'm sorry, Milwaukee.
Right.
I think Donovan Ivory enjoyed his trip home, 32 points. Maybe that'll get them going, shooting the ball a little bit, and things will be different going forward. If they can make shots, they're really good, but it's been an issue of shooting with this team.
Kelly, you coach baseball still. Is that kind of like a baseball team that gets in a hitting slump, and you really can't explain why nobody can hit, but then one guy gets a big hit, and it gets contagious, and suddenly everybody's hit?
Yeah, the difference is in baseball, you know, you've got the pitcher that knows what's coming, and the hitters don't. But shooting, that goal has always been the same height. It's always been, you know, the same diameter.
That hole can get real small.
For some reason, yeah.
like those at the carnival. You used to wonder, why can't I hit a basket? It's because they've reduced the size of it.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it. Golf, too. You know, some days you can putt the eyes out of it, and other days you couldn't hit a bull in the butt with a bass fiddle, you know?
But, Bob, you know, we're talking men's basketball.
A bull in the butt with a bass fiddle. Okay, go ahead.
That sounds like something my dad would say. I will say this, we're talking men's basketball. We got to give some love, number one, prayers to Coach McNeilson's family, but we got to give some love to the women's basketball.
Oh, absolutely.
Team.
They're playing great.
They're playing phenomenal. They got Ole Miss this weekend in Rudy Green Coliseum. They deserve some love. They've been playing really well, 6-0, and yeah. That's a fun team to watch.
Yeah, everybody ought to get out Saturday and support these ladies with Ole Miss here in town. They have a real shot at this, and boy, they're really good. And this Morgan Sieper really adds a new dimension to the team. Even though she hasn't been scoring a lot the last couple of games, her presence on the floor seems to have really improved the team, Heath.
They've got bigs. They've got guards. They've got forwards that can guard. They've got Dom, who can create her own shot. Sieper, who has been, she hit like 7 threes in one game earlier this season, who can shoot from outside.
Right.
There's not many holes on the roster.
No.
And they can play really well. So
yeah.
I like what I'm seeing from this team, and I think there's going to be a lot of success this season.
100%. Heath, how do we join Big Gold Nation? Big, great Christmas gift, by the way.
Yeah. Go to southernmiss.rivals.com, click on join, and become a member. We have a lot of fun discussing the portal and maybe players coming in, players that we're looking at that might – you know, want to come to Southern Mississippi, coaching changes. A lot of fun. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, our pleasure. Heath Hinton, owner, proprietor, operator, Big Gold Nation. When we come back, we'll continue the football and basketball conversation. Remember, we're going to be in Columbia tomorrow. Columbia Christmas. Man, that's always fun. We've got a big guest show lined up, 2 hours. Hope you'll be with us from 1 to 3. We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, this segment of the show is sponsored by 4th Street Bar and Grill, right there in the shadow of the rock. Catfish Friday, not too far off, but every day's good. Lunch is served from 11 to 1. It's just 10 bucks, and that includes your drink, everything. Can't beat it. 4th Street Bar and Grill. Also want to thank Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Genesis sedans and SUVs are the finest luxury vehicles on the road today. And coming soon, the all-new Genesis showroom, Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. Bob, Kelly, Luke, we're in the Southern Bancorp Studios here in Hattiesburg and in Laurel. And I don't know, Luke, it's been a busy, busy week. What time frame do you think we're looking at before we get answers to all these coaching questions?
I think it'll probably be early next week, simply because there's conference championship games this weekend. And, you know, you would probably guess that some of those guys that may come in may be connected to some of those programs. It will be interesting to see whether, you know, the defensive coordinator is hired and then the other two openings follow that. or if they're all just announced at the same time. You got to think that whoever the defensive coordinator is, you know, is technically the first hire, and then, you know, does he hire the other two guys? You know, obviously he and Will work together to hire those two guys, or, you know, does Will, you know, fill in the blanks? I would think that probably the DC, they're probably all announced at the same time, but I would guess that the defensive coordinator would probably, you know, be hired first. Anyway, you only have to plug one hole on offense, and that's a tight ends coach who, you know, who would probably be the offensive coordinator.
And I think on the defensive side of the ball too, there's so many things that have to take place, you know, on that side of the ball too. Do you go with, and again, a lot of it, you sit there and go, well, when you look at salaries and so on, you've only got so much money to go around, and prices on these coaches aren't going down. I mean, it's only going up, you know. So if you're asking for somebody, you know, with a resume, under the circumstances that they're currently in, they have to weigh that with a potential situation here, and then how much money, you know, can you move money from this department to that department on the team I'm talking about. So there's a lot of juggling that has to take place here. But when you've got, as Luke mentioned, these conference championships, but a lot of coaches are already out there, you know, looking for things. So you have to wonder if every head coach has a mental Rolodex, you know, that they turn to, thinking at any time they could lose an assistant coach. And if that were the case, where would they go? Where would they go to make that phone call?
Yeah, I mean, Will's actually talked about that. He talked about that with us. I don't know, was it last year or 2 years ago? Maybe it was 2 years ago. It's when he brought Greg in. That's exactly. Remember, he told us in an interview, he said that, you know, I think it was like he kept a file or a notes, you know, in his phone or his computer, of guys, you know, were openings to happen, these would be the first guys. And I'm sure every coach has that. I just found that, you know, interesting that as a leader, you know, that's how you prepare for situations like this.
And there is and one of the things that Coach Hall sometimes doesn't understand, I think, is that why there seems to be this perception, you guys, that Will Hall only hires his best buddies, right, from North Allen, from West Georgia, when there are a couple of connections. I mean, he and Sam Gregg grew up together in Amory. But other than that, I mean, Brandon Lacey, he did not know, you know, before here. And Mark Kreiner, you know, he didn't necessarily know. So a lot of these coaches that are on staff have come from other D1 programs that he didn't know. But yet there does seem to be that perception that that Coach Hall hires, you know, air quotes, his buddies, when that's not, you know, numbers-wise, that's – he doesn't seem to hire any more of his buddies than any other coach would.
Right. Well, you know, it's really not unusual. It just happens to be at this school this year, but this takes place around the country.
Sure.
I think I've told you years ago, I was covering a road game. Southern Miss had been beaten, and I saw two coaches' wives outside the visiting locker room, and one of them was crying, and I overheard her say, "I am so tired of my life depending on the mood of 18 and 19-year-old boys." An assistant coach's wife. They're the real warriors of college football, or the wives behind these assistant coaches, because they don't get $4.5 million a year like the new coach at Mississippi State does. You know what I'm saying?
And if they get fired, they don't, you know, they're like, their contracts are a year at a time.
Yeah.
So they don't have these buyouts, you know, yeah, if they have to, you know, are shipped packing, which is why so many guys want to be head coaches.
Right.
Is because they get that guarantee.
And that's what Southern Miss and our fan base, I think, the ones that I see on the internet, lose sight of. Take the Mississippi State deal up there. I read this morning the guy's getting $4.5 million a year, plus a list of incentives that's longer than your rap sheet, Kelly, that different things that he can make additional
Surely
money.
Not.
Well, not quite that.
Okay.
But how do you compete with that, Luke Johnson? You can't. The truth is, you live in the shadow of the SEC, and that has an effect on your ability to get the kind of coaches that perhaps you'd like to have.
It's complicated. One of the things that complicates it is, for the longest time, we were better than anybody in the country of getting the most out of our money. But I mean, if you look across the board at the Sun Belt, we do have a generous donor base. We do. I mean,
yeah.
And I'm saying that compared to other Sun Belt schools. What I'm getting at is there's just a complicated knot of things that make us not we cannot operate that way anymore. And I think you see, you know, Jeremy doing things to attack that. But the problem is you've got people who, you know, who express their opinion and haven't done anything, you know, with their pocketbook to help change the situation. There's a whole lot of people that have done that. And in a lot of ways, you know, as Coach said yesterday, they have a reason to gripe. And it's a legitimate reason, you know, to gripe or to be frustrated or whatever. But the point is, if you – and here's the other part to it. There are things that the state of Mississippi – will not allow the universities to do, and Ole Miss and Mississippi State don't have to worry about it because they get $50 million in TV revenue or whatever it is every single year. Things like, you know, student fees, things like, you know, budgets and other stuff like that. State and Ole Miss don't have to ask donors for that because they get so much revenue that comes in. And so that sort of stuff is outside leadership's hands.
The other thing, one of the other things that we haven't talked about yet is the fence that athletic directors have to walk on. And I'm going to give an example. Louisiana Monroe yesterday made it official that they're cutting ties with Terry Bowden. They're firing Terry Bowden. The athletic director at ULM goes on this tirade saying, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he was saying that they had everything at ULM they needed to be successful. They have the facilities. They have the support. They have the this, they have the that. Really? I mean, do you really?
Yeah.
Compared to, you know, what's don't consider the almighty, but consider the alternative. Look, when you consider the alternatives, you don't even stack up.
No.
So how can you sit there and say that you have these things like at Louisiana
Monroe? In the pecking order, Louisiana Tech is above you, Louisiana is above you, and LSU is up in the heavens looking down at you.
Right. Right.
Right.
But so you've got athletic directors that are saying that to the general public, but they know darn well when they peel back that onion that's just not true. When you have to compare it to everybody else.
Right.
You know that you're playing against every week.
So expectations need to be realistic. In my humble opinion, the day of Southern Miss football competing with the LSUs and the Alabamas and the Auburns, like we used to do, you and I covered a lot of those games. That's history. I mean, that may happen once in a blue moon. We need to strive to be competitive in the Sun Belt Conference. Is that wrong, Luke? I don't know.
Well, I mean, with the expanded playoff now, I mean, that's what it takes. The point is, yeah, you'll have to, in order to ever get considered, you'll have to, you know, win 11 games and be the highest G5, you know, 11 or 12 games. But it... Who are we kidding if we can't? What you do is you win your division. Then you're able to win your conference. And then you're able to go to a good bowl game. And then in a perfect scenario, because it only happens once in a blue moon, James Madison's example, they couldn't have got there, but they blew it, right? They blew it. And they weren't even eligible had they been eligible for it. And then you can start talking all that other stuff.
But you know
what? All you're asking for is a chance. And to get a chance, it starts with winning your division.
Well, and I think there can be plenty of fun and plenty of excitement being a Southern Miss fan competing for the Sun Belt Conference Championship. And get these lollipop dreams out of your head.
Well, last thing on that is it hasn't been fun for us in the Sun Belt. But you just wait until if we get to where we are winning against Sun Belt competition, it will be fun. And I can tell you this, watching Sun Belt football for the last 2 years, this league is 1,000 times more fun than Conference USA ever was. The parity is amazing.
Oh, the league can be great fun. How much fun was it in baseball to let everybody know, hey, there's a new guy in town and you ain't going to like it very much?
Yeah, but you're going back to one word, winning.
Winning.
It could be checkers, it could be esports, whatever. If you win, everything is always so much more fun.
Of course, you and I, being lifelong Redskin and Bengal fans, don't have a great taste of that, but a little taste.
Oh, I've been a loser in so many more aspects, Bob. That's just one.
Southern Miss to the top.
Final segment of the Eagle Hour on this Tuesday brought to you by D1 Training and DBAT Hattiesburg. They're on Hardy Street. D1 Training on the right, 70-yard indoor facility. Off-season now for a lot of high schools, unless you're playing in the state championships this weekend in Oxford, junior colleges. Running 40s, maybe you're running in 60s for baseball. They have an indoor running facility and laser time for you and your team. Great facilities, instruction, batting cages. It's all at DBAT and D1 in Hattiesburg. DBATHattiesburg.com. Heath Hinton mentioned a little earlier, just bring you up to date, Jordan Johnson, a safety from Mississippi Delta, 6'3", 200 pounds, commits to Southern Miss today. So congratulations. He tagged Dwight Wilson as a coach in that. So good job, Coach Wilson. And mentioned earlier, Heath as well mentioned Jake Lang in the portal, Bryce Ramsey in the portal, Zach Wilkie in the portal, Boulding, I think, in the portal, and then Jaquan Scott. So three offensive linemen starters. But I think we can all say kind of expected that. As we mentioned yesterday, Coach Hall mentioned some of this young talent, you know, as they go through the previous two recruiting classes. Yeah, I kind of expected an exit from some of the older guys as some of these other younger guys, you know, make their way into their redshirt freshman and sophomore classes.
You know, the state high school championships are this weekend, as you mentioned, up in Oxford. I think what's kind of funny is you look at the 7A classification, of course, Oak Grove from the south, which is right here in our rearview mirror, and then they're playing Starkville from the north.
What is the matter with the high school?
Something? And then they're playing the game in Oxford.
So yeah, by the way, if you value high school sports the way we do, and you'd like to follow Laurel High School in West Jones, only Super Talk Mississippi and Laurel will be carrying both of those games, Luke Johnson, because we love high school and junior college sports in this company.
Yeah, it'd be exciting. What's cool for me, being able to take part in the 5A game, and we'll cover the 6A game as well, that will mean with Super Talk Laurel, we have now covered a state championship at The Rock, at Davis Wade, at Memorial Stadium, and now Vaught Hemingway. It's pretty cool to be able to, you know, be a part of a broadcast in those four D1 stadiums in Mississippi. I can't remember the last time I think Deuce was still playing last time I went to a Oxford football game in Oxford.
Well, just remember this too: if you're a business owner over in the Laurel Jones County area, and other stations come asking you for your business, ask them, well, what do you do to support the community? Super Talk supports the community, supports the high schools, which are incredibly important to every community, and just ask everybody to kind of keep that in mind. We hope both bring back state championships. We'd love to have both state championship coaches on this show.
First time that the state championships have been held over a 3-day period as opposed to a 2-day. Of course, they had to do that with the addition of a 7A classification this year. Southern Miss basketball headed to UAB this weekend.
That's always tough, man. Yeah. That's always tough.
And are they officially gone now from Crapference USA?
I think they're part of the American.
They're officially in the American now. And Dana Dimmel, we talked about the coach at UTEP, whether he'd be back. He got the heave-ho yesterday in Conference USA. Rick Stockstill was fired as the head football coach at Middle Tennessee after some 18 years. He's gone. So they call it Black Sunday, but it's also more than Cyber Monday. It's also Black Monday for a lot of these coaches. So, but I'll tell you, my heart goes out to Matt Kubik. All right, now Matt Kubik, you're going, who is that? That name sounds familiar. He was the offensive coordinator at Louisiana Monroe. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, he started about, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago as the offensive coordinator at Louisiana Monroe. All right. If my years are off, it's okay. Just follow me on this. All right. So he was the offensive coordinator at Louisiana Monroe, comes to Southern Miss. All right. The offensive coordinator at Southern Miss. Coaching things changed there. Well, then he goes to Columbia High School. All right. So there's two moves so far in a short period of time. Then has to go to Columbia High School. He's offensive coordinator there. They win a state championship. All right. Then gets rehired back at Louisiana Monroe under Bowden. So
to have the staff fired.
Again, yeah, again. So there's going to be four or five moves in the past 6 or 7 years for coaches.
See, I don't have any concern for these head coaches because they make crazy money. But it's the assistant coaches that don't make crazy money that those are the ones you have sympathy for and their family.
And most of them are younger, which means they have young families starting out. So you got not only have to pack clothes, you got to pack toys, you got to change schools.
But the head guys, I mean, you want to give me $3 or $4 million and fire me, I'll be the happiest fired guy on the planet.
And if I'm moving, if you're the head coach and you're moving, I ain't doing it.
Yeah.
I'm going away for the week and having some moving company come in here and move me lock, stock, and barrel.
Yeah, like you did when you lived at Cambridge.
Well, yeah. So people who want to work, Bob, you know, there are some people out there that want to work, you know.
Yeah, I got you.
It was
we want to work, and we're going to work for 2 hours tomorrow in Columbia. We're going to be down there with Lori and Caroline and these ladies that we love so much and enjoy our visits to Columbia every Christmas.
Did you tell Lori and Caroline that I'm coming?
Yeah, they said just long as he stays outside.
Okay. I think the court order is still in effect, actually.
Yeah, so we hope you'll join us. It should be fun. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top. Into the future.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
A Supertalk Mississippi Media Production.